The Bible in 15 minutes. Now, some of you are old enough to remember when Mission Impossible was a TV show and it didn't have Tom Cruise in it. And Mr. Phelps would get his instructions every time, and in 15 seconds it would self-destruct. And that's sort of the way you kind of feel about the Bible in 15 minutes. Let's go to God in prayer. The Lord be with you. Gracious God, open our hearts, open our minds, open our spirits to your presence with us. Help us to hear your message to us. Help us to be filled with its power. Help us to be transformed by its love. We ask this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Now you've heard this from John, you know it already yourself. The Bible is 66 different books. 39 of them are in the Old Testament, 27 of them are in the New Testament. 3/4 of the Bible is what we call Old Testament or Hebrew Scripture. 27 of them form Christian Scripture. They cover a time period of about 1000 BCE to about 125 to maybe 150 CE. They cover a long span of time. They're written by many, many different individuals. They have many, many different stories within them. But by and large, the stories that are in them are very similar. When all things are going well, the people tend to forget about God. When things are going poorly, they tend to flock to God and beg and plead for God's supernatural intervention in the midst of the problems that, by and large, they have created. And get very upset when God doesn't do their bidding the way they expect God to do it. Now, the same thing holds true pretty much throughout what we call the New Testament or Christian Scripture. The only difference is now we have a living being who is the reflection of the will of God, but the people have some of the same problems day in and day out, and particularly when we see the early church, the conflicts continue to manifest and the fighting continues to go on. It was in the mid-70s, right here in this sanctuary, and it's while you were still having the Heinsohn Lecture Series, and you invited Dr. Albert Outler to be your speaker here. I attended his presentation on Wesley's Means for Grace. I was a layperson. I was working for the University of Texas, and I was attending St. Mark's United Methodist in North Austin, with a young and crazy pastor by the name of Chuck Merrill. I attended those lectures with Outler, and I began to see Christianity in a whole new way. His presentation of the grace of God and what it meant transformed my thinking, transformed my understanding of the Christian faith. I didn't encounter Outler again until maybe some of you have done the Disciple One Bible Study series. In one of the very first sessions in that Disciple One, Bishop Richard Wilkie, who at that time was the bishop of the Arkansas Episcopal area, was in conversation with Dr. Outler, and they were talking about the overview of the Bible. And Wilkie asked Outler, "Dr. Outler, there are these 66 different and diverse books. Is there anything, any red thread that ties these things together? Is there a central message?" And Outler thought for a second and said, "Yes, I believe there is." And Wilkie said, "Well, what is it?" He said, "It's the sovereign grace of God versus the human power syndrome." The sovereign grace of God versus the human power syndrome. The essence of that is who's in charge? Who's in charge? Who has the power and the authority to make decisions? And as humanity, we have set up layer upon layer, hierarchy upon hierarchy, of trying to answer that question, who's in charge? We go back to ancient writings that go back all the way to the Assyrians, and the Babylonians, and the Persians, and the Greeks, and the Romans, and it continues on and comes up through our history too. Maybe it's the Magna Carta. Maybe it's the Constitution of the United States. Maybe it's the policy manual in your office. Maybe it's the Book of Discipline of the United Methodist Church. But we set up these layers and layers of hierarchy to try to answer the question, who's in charge? And humanity has struggled mightily with those questions of power, authority, and who's in charge. That's the power syndrome. Now, the sovereign grace of God, now grace, by the way, is a theological term, it's a technical term, and just a simplistic definition of that is grace is the unmerited, undeserved, yet unending love of God. Grace is a description of the nature of God. God is love. And God drew out and called into being creation via love and looked at it and said, this is good. And the goal of creation was to respond with love. Grace was what called life into being, and grace was designed to be what coordinated and developed life as we know it. Then along comes humanity. And that's why I selected as our scriptures this morning one from Genesis and one from Revelation. The beginning and the end. And from beginning to end, it's a story of humanity struggling with the question of who's in charge. Humanity likes to be in control. And when we're not in control, we find ourselves very uncomfortable and usually very, very frightened. Sometimes the most scary thing in all of life is to find ourselves totally and completely out of control. I think one of the examples that I had in my life was many, many years ago in Wisconsin, I was driving a Volkswagen over a little bridge, and I hit a patch of black ice and just began to spin. And you could watch everything around you, the bridge abutments, you could watch the bar ditch on the side, you could watch everything happening, and you knew there wasn't a thing you could do about any of it. And what was going to happen was going to happen, and it probably wasn't going to be good. We don't like being out of control. And we do everything in our power to make sure we don't find ourselves out of control. We set up laws. We set up definitions of judgment. We set up organizations and hierarchies, all of which is to be in control. But God, in the created order, very early on in the process, was very clear about what it was going to take to sustain the love of the creation that God was so generous and so gracious in providing. And it was very simple. Do justice. Love kindness. Walk humbly. And we have a heck of a hard time with that. It seems like we can't get that right. And so the question continues to be, who's in charge? That's the biblical story from beginning to end. It's the story of the sovereign grace of God versus the human power syndrome. A story of covenant making and humanity's covenant breaking, and God's then reestablishing the covenant, and it lasts for a little while until humanity decides that they want to be in charge again. Because you see, as humanity, we think it's all about us. And we know full well that the center of all life is us. And who knows better about what we need and what we want than us? So it's like the whole biblical story, if read through the eyes of the sovereign grace of God and humanity's power syndrome, it's an autobiography. Ours. The biblical message is an autobiography of us. Of our being called into creation through love, called to sustain creation through love, but we just don't get it. The biblical story is about cooperation. God's call for us to cooperate with God, and then in turn for us to cooperate with one another. Now, as simple as that sounds, we don't know very much about cooperation because we live in a world of competition. We know how to compete. We know how to be number one. Or at least we try to be number one. And when we do come together to cooperate, it's usually for the purpose, like an athletic team, of learning how to compete. And competition is about the process of winners and losers. And is that not the problem within the Bible? Winners and losers, when we're called not to be in competition with one another, we're called to be in cooperation with one another, in cooperation with God, in cooperation with the rest of creation. It centers around the loving, creative, sustaining, redemptive, loving grace of God. And oh, how we want to believe that. And sometimes we're inspired to believe that. But the problem is that our belief so oftentimes does not translate into behavior. We want to believe it, but we're afraid to trust our life in it. Because you see, it just doesn't make any logical sense. It doesn't fit the world in which we live. Folks tell us, and we oftentimes feel, it's just ideological fantasy. That's not the way the real world works. But you see, the biblical story is a story about a new way for the world to work. A new image of how the world can work in the centrality of the sovereign grace of God as demonstrated by the man and the message of Jesus of Nazareth. And for we as Christians, the challenge is not do we believe that, but will we trust our life in that? Will we make the decisions within our own lives, within the lives of our families, within the lives of our congregations, within the lives of our communities, within the lives of our nation, within the life of the world and planet Earth? Or will we find ourselves continually stuck in the rut of the real world? Not an ideological fantasy, but the real world of power and might and authority and competition, and winning at any cost. And when stuck there, when you continue to go down that route, you always get what you've already got. And we can't figure out why things don't change. 15 minutes in the Bible. The sovereign grace of God versus the human power syndrome. Who's in charge? Will we cooperate with God, or will we be in competition with God? How will we choose? How will we decide? It was a struggle for ancient Israel. It was a struggle for the young and infant church. And it's a struggle for us today. May God be with us as we struggle to trust the sovereign grace of God. Amen.